Matt was saying, it's great. It's great for me to be with you and to have brought you guys across with me from Manchester. It's a lovely journey. We've done the Snake Pass, that's what we're on, and on good weather, it's beautiful to drive through. I also don't know how aware you are of kind of Vineyard, the Vineyard family. This is one Vineyard church, but there are, I think, about 110, 120 vineyards around the country. And I love going to other vineyards. It feels like I don't always know a lot of faces, but it feels like going home and being with family. It's lovely to be with you today. And if you're ever anywhere else, try popping in and seeing what God is doing in some of the other vineyards around the country. I always love catching up. I don't know what you think. Some people are quite happy living for the moment, just enjoying themselves. But to be honest, I think most people at some point in their lives ask, what's it all about? What's the point? And it may seem like only a very small minority ever get a satisfactory answer. I was trying to think of some good examples. You know, Andy Murray, you know, was meant to play tennis. You can't imagine him doing anything else. I don't know how up you are on your music. There's a guy called Dave Grohl, who is the lead singer of the Foo Fighters. He played drums for Nirvana. I was thinking, he was made to do rock and roll music. He was made to play rock music and to write music. I'm sorry, I've thought of male examples. It's not intentionally, but... and my last one, Will Ferrell, was made to be a comedian. I mean, if you saw him doing any other job, it'd be depressing, wouldn't it? That is what he was made to do. They found something that they're passionate about, and they've made a successful career out of it. And while the rest of us maybe just feel like we're plodding along, trying to make our way. But what if you were made for a very specific purpose? What if you would never feel quite satisfied until you found out what that was and got the chance to do it? What if everyone was made for a very special role? And that's what I'd like to spend a bit of time talking about today, if that's all right with you guys. Now, I don't know if you ever did a careers questionnaire while you were at school. It was supposed to tell you what the perfect job was for you. I was thinking about this, and I remember doing one, and for some reason, I came out with a job of fish farmer. Not entirely sure why, I never thought that's what I'm going to aspire to. I've never met anyone that's been a fish farmer or loved fish farmer or anything. It might have been picked up on something in the questionnaire of my interest in animals. I went on to do a zoology degree and just thought, what's the nearest thing I can find to that and give me fish farmer? I guess, and I don't know how much you know, but the internet is flooded with these different questionnaires these days. You can find out which Disney princess you are, and you can find out which country you should live in. But the big question of what you're made for is too big to be answered by five quick questions online. That needs to be given some thought, right? So I've just got a few ideas I'm going to give this morning to maybe help you try and think those things through, if you'll let me. So first off, let's talk about what the purpose of everyone is, not just one individual. What's everyone made for? I don't know if you've ever thought of that. For example, if everyone was meant to be rich, how would that work? Because someone needs to be poor in order for someone to be rich. So you can't have everyone being rich. What about being famous? You can't have famous people without people that aren't known. It just wouldn't work. In the 17th century, some theologians sought to write down the answers to some key questions, and they created a document called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Very difficult to say. So they had a number of questions, and they were like, these are things we need to nail down the answers to and have in a document. And the first one they wanted to answer was, what is the chief end of man? And ladies, by man, they mean mankind, this is everyone. So what is the chief end of man? The answer was this: man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about people being created in the image of God. And the language used there is a sense of this ongoing purpose of humans to be image bearers, reflecting the glory of God back to the universe, every available opportunity. I was thinking today, with coming through the beautiful countryside, you know, that's a reflection of God's glory. But God has something even better to reflect his glory. He has us. And maybe you think, whoa, that's a bit heavy responsibility. I'm supposed to reflect how glorious God is to the world. But let's go back to the second half of the catechism. Just encourage you to try and throw that word into conversation this week, see if you can go. Catechism. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It's meant to be fun glorifying God, not a burden. It's not a separate thing of, oh, also try and enjoy yourself as much as you can. It's part of the same thing. Now, I deliberately didn't mention this earlier, but I guess a lot of people will say that all they want in life is to be happy. And being happy maybe isn't like being rich or famous. You know, you could perhaps imagine a community where everyone's happy. It doesn't necessarily require someone not to be. But just saying, oh, I want to be happy is not very specific, is it? Some people might say it's about finding that special someone, getting married and starting a family with them. Maybe for others, it's about being the best you possibly can be in your chosen profession, just excelling that and being known for that. Or imagine for a lot of people, it's about trying to find the perfect balance between all these different things, between relationships and career and fun and wealth and community. It's just trying to, how can I do the best of all of those? But my experience has been the most content people I've met or heard are not those who keep themselves busy pursuing their own happiness, but those who occupy themselves with caring for others and often serving God. So Isaiah chapter 43, 6 and 7, I think it'll come up on the screens, says, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Created for his glory. And what better way to give glory to the one who created you than to be all he created you to be? What better way to give glory to the one who created you than to be all he created you to be? And while I really believe there's a big part of that, is maybe these kind of spiritual activities, I also passionately believe that it's more than that. If you can sing, sing well for God. If you can dance, dance passionately. If you're an artist or an athlete, a writer or an accountant, use the gifts well that God has given you in and out of the church. Because by reflecting God's good creation, you are reflecting the good creator to the world. So what about God's plans for us as individuals, not just for everyone? Did you know that God has a unique and special plan for your life? Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 29, verse 11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And then Psalm 33, verse 11 says, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. And this is not a God who has a plan only for those special people, the Christian elite, whoever you think they might be. But he has a plan for everyone he has created. A plan that gives him glory, but that also fulfills that person and gives them a passionate purpose. And you may think this kind of conversation is something you have with young people, you know, like I said, with the questionnaires as they're leaving school, or maybe as people are graduating university, you know, what are you made for? Let's talk about them. And it is in part, and I love hanging out with those people at those stages and talking these things through. But let's not think that this isn't something you can discover at any stage of your life. So there's a new film coming out later in the year based on a biblical story. I know that's often a controversial thing. I know feelings in Christian circles were mixed about the Noah film. I've not had the chance to see that one at the cinema, but I'm hoping to catch it on DVD and make my own opinions. But this new film coming out is about Moses. It's called Exodus, Gods and Kings. I've got the poster up on the screen there. And you see on the left, it's got Christian Bale starring as Moses. So a little while ago, and before I saw the trailer and knew much about it, I heard that he was in it, he was playing Moses. And I very quickly presumed that they might not be strictly keeping to Moses' age at various points in the story. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I remember a few years ago when I kind of read this and figured this out. So the story of Moses. Moses grows up in the Pharaoh's household in Egypt after he escapes a massacre of Hebrew babies. They're persecuting the people when they kill a generation of babies, and Moses manages to escape this, and he gets kind of adopted into the Pharaoh's household. So he's in this privileged household actually all the way up till he's 40 years old, so a big chunk of life. And then at that point, he runs away from Egypt because he kills this soldier who's persecuting an Israelite slave. So he's an Israelite and he sees one of his kindred being persecuted, and he responds by killing them, and then he's guilty and he runs away. So all the way up to the age of 40, he's probably thinking, I'm an adopted son of a great leader. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about safety. This is me. This is good. This is what life's going to be. And then he's confronted with this injustice in front of him. He doesn't handle it particularly well. So ashamed and feeling guilty, he runs away from Egypt to the land of Midian, where he becomes a shepherd. He gets married, he settles down, and again, you might think at this point, okay, it's not the privileged life I was used to, but you know, this is good, I've got a job, I've got a family, I'm probably going to do this for the rest of my life. But God had other plans. Another 40 years later, so he's 80 at this point, he encounters God in a burning bush and finds out what God wants him to do. He gets told by God to confront the Pharaoh back in Egypt and get him to free the Israelite people who are still in slavery. So Moses was initially reluctant to fulfill this dangerous calling. Like I said, maybe thinking, hang on, I've settled down for a life of being a shepherd. You're telling me to go back out there and do this dangerous thing. But eventually he puts his faith in the God he had encountered so powerfully, and he goes back to Egypt, as you may well know, to free his own people. Now we know that was what Moses was meant to do. We can look back on that and say, yeah, that was Moses' destiny. That was God's plan all along. But Moses didn't get to find that out till he was 80. And then he spends the next 40 years wandering the desert with the people of Israel, trying to get them back into the land that God had promised them. So the lesson here, you're never too old to have a powerful encounter with God where he tells you what he's calling you to next. So how do you find out what you were made for? I've got five kind of brief tips, brief areas I'm going to talk about, and then we'll wrap it up so you know where I'm going. Firstly, listen to what God might be saying. God spoke to Moses about the plans he had for Moses. I don't think that God leaves us to figure this out, hoping that we'll stumble upon it. I think he speaks and encourages us in lots of different ways. Probably not burning bushes, maybe you hear from God that way, but definitely through the Bible, through prophecy, through words of knowledge, the wisdom and experience of godly friends and leaders, and through the Holy Spirit within you, driving you towards all that God has planned for you. Make sure that you allow time for all of that. Sit down with God regularly and ask him, what have you got planned for me next? As I say, you guys are kind of stopping the services for summer. So you've maybe got a break, maybe you're going away. For some reason, I've been out of academia for a long time, but I still work in these September years, the summer, and then the academic year starts. So if you're anything like me, maybe take the summer to review what's God got for you for the next academic year. Listen to what God might be saying. That's number one. Number two, try new things. It's a shame that so often we only try new things when we're kids. And then when we're grown up, we just assume, oh, I'm never going to be musical. I'm never going to be an artist. I know that the capacity that people have will be different depending on your commitments. I felt really privileged, as I said, and as we were talking with Matt earlier, I moved to Manchester last summer to church plant. I had loads of capacity to try new things and meet new people. I didn't have a wife or children, I still don't. So I could pretty much go out whenever I wanted to. So for me, one of the things I got into was going along to a soul choir. These guys know about it, they've heard my stories. So we sing soul music. Yeah, it's kind of a bit blurry, but there's a picture of us doing an open mic gig there. And to be honest, this is even worse, you can laugh at this. What I wanted to do was to find a street dance class when I went to Manchester, because I'd done a bit of that back in my time in Manchester, and I loved that as well. But it just happened, I also wanted to do some singing, and it was easier to find that. So what I did, I went onto a website. There's a slight plug here, I get no commission. There's a website called meetup.com, and I went on this, and this is how I found the choir. And basically it's a great website, because you put in anything you're interested in, any kind of sports or activities, and you tell it where you are, and it will find you people that are doing that thing in the air around you. It's really cool. I really like it. So if you know you've got some bizarre hobby, just see, there might be weaseling on there. Who knows? Who knows? So yeah, I was on this website and I found about this choir, and it was really fortunate for me because I went along. They'd only been meeting for 1 week before I got there, so I got in pretty early, and And yeah, now they call me part of the furniture, I think. So I started going on to this choir. I think it was January, February time. So I've pretty much been going every week since then because I can, I've got the capacity to do that. And it's been great to get to know people, because while you're learning a song each week, and while you're learning it and singing, you're chatting along the way. Everyone there loves singing, so you've got a common interest. And a lot of people who go, particularly to choir, but maybe to any of these meetup things, they want to make friends. So it's really easy to make friends, because they're there to make new friends as well. So I had a birthday party a few weeks back, and it was great to have a ton of my friends from the choir, who I'd only known for a few months, but they were there celebrating my first birthday in Manchester with me. So my encouragement then is to find something new. Maybe an activity you've done before but neglected, or maybe something you've always wanted to try. Give it a decent chance, but if you discover it's not for you, then leave graciously and try something else. So firstly, listen to God. Secondly, try new things. Thirdly, surround yourself with good people. There's two parts to this. I'm not going to break all of them down into lots of parts before you start panicking about how long it would take. But surround yourself with good people. The first part of that is make sure you have people around you that will be brutally honest with you. I don't watch X Factor that regularly, but when I've glimpsed some of the early auditions, I don't know if you guys have seen some of this, there are some people convinced on there that they have a wonderful voice and they're destined for a singing career, and I pity them. I don't pity them because their lack of skill. There are plenty of things that I'm not good at. I pity them because they've not got anyone around them who was brave enough and loved them enough to give them honest feedback. I'm determined that I don't want to be one of those people. I want people to tell me if I can't sing. I want people to tell me if I can't dance. I want people to tell me if they don't think I'm a good church planter. And I treasure those kind of friendships and invite people to speak honestly into my life. I give them permission to be brutally honest with me. And then I try and model this to my close friends by doing the same to them. If I think that they're not excelling in something, that maybe something's not for them, you know, I want to be honest and say, have you tried something else instead? So surround yourself with good people so they can be brutally honest with you. And secondly, surround yourself with good people to learn from them. Say if you wanted to be a professional rugby player, then you would find the best rugby player you knew and learn from them. You would find the best coach that will train you and hassle them until they are as determined as you, that you would be the best rugby player you possibly could be. That's what you'd do. So don't be too proud to be near someone who might be better at you than the thing you long to excel in. As I said, I regularly visit other Vineyard churches and hang out with church planters just to find out what are they doing that's working, how can I learn from them, how can I get some tips. I don't want to be mediocre because I missed opportunities to humbly learn from what God was using them for. Also, I love mentoring, and particularly in the church, but anywhere. I just love the idea that at any point in time you should think, who around me could I be learning from? Who could I be getting some experience from? So kind of, you know, someone who's a little bit further down the line than something than me, but also be thinking, right, who's a little bit further back than me? Who can I be training and who can I be encouraging? Just at any point be thinking, who can I be learning from and who can I be encouraging? I think it's just healthy to be having people like that in your life at any point in time. So listen to God, try new things. Thirdly, surround yourself with good people so they can be brutally honest with you and you can learn from them. Fourth, serve lots. You may think that I've gone off on a bit of a tangent and not talking about churchy things anymore, which I have, and deliberately so. However, I also believe that God has a plan for you to be part of a church community and to serve with it. Paul in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 12 talked about the church being a body made up of different parts, all doing the thing they were made to do. So the foot should be a foot and not envy the hand. An ear should be an ear and not envy the eye. They should each of them do the very thing they were made for, serving the body in their own unique way. Now you're at a really fun stage of church here. You're still fairly young, just a couple years old, but there's plenty to be doing. If you're not already serving in some way, then over this time, over summer, while you're having these parties and social things, why not get alongside some people and say, what can I get involved in September when things start kicking off again? I don't know how long you've been around Vineyard Churches or how exposed to Vineyard Churches you are, but we have this phrase, if you stick around for a while, you hear it lots, we call it, everybody gets to play. And by that, we mean that this church stuff is not an observed activity that the people, the pastors do, but everyone else just sits back and watches them. It's something everybody gets to participate in. We can all pray for healing. We can feed the poor. We can all minister and prophesy for each other. However, it's not always going to be that glamorous. Sometimes boxes need lugging and tables need wiping. But you're serving the church, the bride of Christ. And if you're doing it right and you're with good people, it should be fun. I remember just a throwaway quote from the film Shawshank Redemption. You can tell I'm a film buff. I think I've got a bit more Bible in than film quotes, so I'm not too bad, hopefully. But yeah, the great film Shawshank, it's just a throwaway quote that I dug up. Some of the happiest people go home stinking to high heaven. Just that idea of serving and getting satisfaction in that. I love it. And don't think that your leaders haven't served hard. I can sing their praises without them getting embarrassed because they're not here. I've certainly observed them serving. They're no exception to that. And again, in the Vineyard, we don't let people lead without seeing them serve first and seeing their heart to serve the kingdom of God through the local church. So one, listen to God. Two, try new things. Three, surround yourself with good people. Four, serve lots. And finally, coming into land. Fifthly, be a community. And actually, when you're serving, it kind of leads to community. You get multiple people all working towards the same thing for the glory of God. They gather and encourage each other in the process. So your purpose is to be in community. So whether you're a sociable extrovert or a shy introvert, either way, you are meant to regularly gather with other people who have similar values and passions. And what better place is that reflected than in the church? So I encourage you to get stuck in. From what I've seen of this church and what I know of Alex and Karen, it's great. If you're already stuck in, get stuck in more. Keep being stuck in. If you're just visiting, find out more about the church and find out what they're up to and get involved. I'd just like to leave you, finish off the talk with a final quote. There's a guy called Irenaeus. He's a second century theologian, so this is a pretty old quote. No films. This is a second century theologian. I think, if I'm right, he was a disciple of someone who was a disciple of John the Apostle. So pretty close there to the time of Jesus. And he said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is a human being fully alive. So I hope this morning I've just had the chance to paint a picture of what that might be and encourage you to start thinking about some of those things. We would love to do some ministry, to pray for you, if that's all right. Manny, do you want to come up? Matt? Mm-hmm. This is the fun bit. I hope you don't mind. We'd love to pray and just say if God's got anything specifically for you. If it's wrong, just tell us to go away. If you would like prayer, we would love to pray for you and just get hands on and just see what God's doing.
Kim, I've invited you up here because. You had some really good words during worship.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we'll invite the Holy Spirit, see what he's got to do. God, we thank you that you've been here with us this morning, Lord. I pray, if there's anything that I've spoken of that is of you, that's to challenge people, that would resonate. If there's anything not of you, I just pray that it would be washed from people's ears, Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit here. Please speak to us, speak to individuals, give us really specific things to speak into people's lives, God. I pray this wouldn't be one of those mornings where go away and go, I've got this loose general idea. here, I don't really know what to do with it, Lord, but I pray that you would give specific activities, specific people, specific aspects of their lives that they can change. And I pray this, yeah, this wouldn't be a burden, that people would feel a real excitement about discovering what they were made for and getting to participate in this thing of reflecting the glory of God. We just give you space this morning to do what you want with us. Holy Spirit, come.